Brian Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, I get Dallas Aikens talked about, and we'll get to his comment in a second, regarding ice time.
Yeah.
And he's not too concerned about individuals, that it'll go up and down, and it's more about the team. And just because you don't play a lot of minutes doesn't mean you're playing bad. What do you think?
Well, I think that's what he's got to say right now, because the simple fact is he's got guys playing good who aren't playing enough. And so, I mean, he's not going to criticize anybody. I mean, I think Nelly Akhmatov probably should be getting more minutes based on the way he's played. But the problem is you got a fourth line that's being used deep into games. It's a legitimate fourth line now. I mean, last year they were like 6-7 minutes. Well, he's playing these guys 10, 11, 12 minutes a night. And so that eats up minutes. And then you got to get your number one line the proper minutes, and especially when you're looking at a hard matchup against the other team's best line. And then you got a center that you're protecting matchup-wise. So all of that adds up to those middle-tier guys having their minutes chomped in on a little bit. And that's what's happening to Nail Yakupov and David Perron right now.
Because if you look at it, like, really, Yakupov, the only regular forward who plays less is Joensuu. He plays 11:25, and Yak's playing 12:46, right? And Draisaitl are pretty much the same. So, yeah, the question is, if people want Yakupov to get more ice time, who are they taking it away
Where
from?
Does it come from? And that's just it. And I think for a lot of people, the answer would probably be maybe not to play that fourth line as much. But, I mean, they're taking a bunch of the defensive zone starts, and they're playing really well. They're hitting quite a bit. If you look at their hit stats, they're decent. I think Dallas said the other day they're starting in their own zone and finishing in the opposite zone a lot. They're doing everything you want a functional fourth line to do. And so Dallas really likes having that tool in his toolbox to be able to keep that line engaged and go to them. So, yeah, where are the minutes coming from? And I think that I think Dallas needs to be willing to move those guys around a little bit. And if it means double shifting Yakupov a little bit, maybe moving them, playing them on both those lines, the Arcabello line and the Draisaitl line, if one of he or Persil is going on any given night, challenge those two, because they're fighting for the same ice time, and go with the guy who's going. Like, for me, Teddy Persil has been, and he's 14, almost 15 minutes a night. And I don't think his play has been so much better than Yakupov's that he deserves that much more ice time. So maybe you challenge those two and you go with the hot hand on that night.
Yeah, I think so, Ryan. I mean, Yakupov, there were issues last year. They didn't get off on the right foot. He and Aikens, we know what happened there. It seems to me they both came into this season looking to get on the same page. Now, it's early, but you would think Dallas would do what he could, given the game situations you've talked about, getting that first-line time and all the factors, still to get the kid out there, whether it's a touch more power play time or whatever. It's not going to be shorthanded at this point in his career. But reward the player, I think, because he's shown some good things early this year.
Yeah, he has. And, I mean, the other thing that he's shown is, and I'm not sure, I mean, sometimes players just know the right things to say, or they learn their lessons. But, I mean, we asked Nail some questions today about the quality of his play versus his ice time, because it's not really in balance based on certainly on last year. Last year, people wanted him to play more last year. He wasn't playing very good, so I didn't get that. But this year, he's playing better. So how does he feel about that? Well, remember last year, he got a little chirpy about his ice time and was pretty public about it, and he took some heat for some of the things he said, and rightfully so. Well, this year he asked him the same questions, and he talked about his team. Like, he was the first time we asked the question today, he said, "I want to talk about myself. It's about the team. We need to be better and win," and da 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 da. And then, of course, later on in the interview, Robin, you know the way it is. You kind of go back at it again gently. And
sure,
Nail flat out admitted today, "Yeah, I want to play more. Of course I want to play more. I don't want to sit on the bench. I want to play more." But everybody wants to play more. The tone of his message today was so much different than last year. This wasn't a player whining and complaining and pissing and moaning. This was a guy who was just passionate, wants to be on the ice more, isn't using this as a tool to try and get it. He's just answering the question honestly. And he's more about the team this year. So we'll see how it goes. It's still early. If the trend continues where he's doing what he's asked, but the minutes aren't there, then we'll see over a 15-20 game period how he handles that.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. on the blue line. Now, you know, Nail Yakupov, you can look at his minutes and you can make the argument, okay, guys are playing better. No one's playing better than Mark Fane. He's playing the least minutes of any blue line guy average on the team. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's being used in a five-on-five match, hard matchup situation, right? So, I mean, you can look at the shift charts from the last game and see, I mean, when Stamkos went over the boards, he and Marincin went over the boards, they're keeping him ready to go five-on-five against the players they want him to check. You know, he's a penalty killer as well. He does a decent job at it. I agree. And I know you asked Dallas the question today about trying to get him more minutes. Dallas was kind of funny today. He just sort of, all these questions about got to get guys more minutes. I think he was a little bit like, you know, enough. Like, we'll do what we need to do game to game to win that game. You know, to sit there and at the end of the game look at the sheet and go, oh, man, I didn't get him enough minutes. I mean, if you're winning games, you don't need to worry about that. So, but, yeah, Fane has been good. We'll see tonight. This is a big test for him tonight because Alex Ovechkin is a left winger that's a right shot. He's got blazing speed. He's the most dangerous player in the league coming off the wing. And tonight will be a much different challenge for Fane than Stamkos was the other night because, you know, he crosses that blue line. His forehand is to the inside of the ice, and he's got that quick stop up and shoot that players have to respect. So you got to play a tight gap on him. But he's fast enough that he can beat you wide too. This is as big a challenge as Fane is going to face all year.
Oh, absolutely. Just more with Mark too, Ryan. You know, you probably played with these guys in junior, and you've certainly seen them as a reporter. Fane to me has been very impressive so far, because to me he's that guy you can call the cooler. You know, he doesn't jump out at you anytime, but if you need it steady and you've got another D-man, and in this case Marty Marincin, who wasn't even here to start the year, yeah, you want him to settle in and feel comfortable. Fane seems to be that solid, fundamental, can count on him guy that every team needs to have.
Yeah, well, and the thing about Fane too, who was he playing with in Jersey? Was it Green all the time that he was playing with out there?
Yeah,
I remember a lot of people felt like the quality in his game maybe had something to do with his D partner, and that it was maybe more about his D partner. But here he is playing with a rookie in Marincin, and the quality of his play is staying high. I mean, he's able to still get his job done while keeping an eye out for his partner. And not that, you know, Martin needs a ton of babysitting out there, but he's still a pretty young player. But Mark, it's not like he's playing with a 5-year veteran.
Yeah.
And the two of them are doing, I mean, he's doing this with a pretty raw rookie still. And yeah, there's a real subtle quality to his game that the Oilers are starting to realize here. And I would suspect his minutes will start to go up a little bit as he gains the trust of the coaches in all sorts of different situations, not just defensive.
Looking at, you talked about the matchup Ovechkin-Backstrom.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder than Stamkos and whoever, because Palat right now and Callahan aren't close to Backstrom, in my opinion, whatsoever. The Oilers, to me, tonight's game really comes down to their second and third lines. Right, you look at Hall and Nugent Hopkins, you think they'll play well. You think Ovechkin's line is going to play well. But it's really their second and third line that has to come up. Like David Perron, Teddy Purcell, Yakupov, like they need a pulse from those guys offensively.
Oh, yeah. No, 100% agree with that. I mean, Brad Hunt's got more goals than, you know, David Perron and Benoit Pouliot combined, right? And I think even Jordan Eberle. So, like, they need to get some guys that aren't scoring right now scoring, no question about that. But, I mean, I think it does come down to the top line tonight, Jason. I think that if Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Taylor Hall, and Jordan Eberle can go head-to-head with that line and pull even with them or even get the better of them, that'll be a huge win for this team and another confidence builder for that line. And this is what has to happen. Like, you notice Dallas, after the game against Tampa, he said, well, we went into it with two plans, you know, and in case it wasn't going well, we had a backup plan. He's going into games with an idea of, okay, we'll go Nuge head-to-head, and if it doesn't work, this is our backup plan. Well, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins needs to graduate to the point where his head coach doesn't even have to give that a second thought. It'll be Nuge against their guy. I'm confident in that matchup. Let it happen, right? And Ryan, they're not quite there yet, but this string of games, you know, Stamkos in town, Ovechkin in town, these are the kinds of games where they got to just let it go. They've got last change. They got to let it happen and just see how these guys do.
Yeah. To me, the guy who's going to earn his paycheck tonight is Jordan Eberle. He's going to be on that wall with Ovechkin all night. And the thing, you know, you stand in the room, Ryan. Alex Ovechkin can go around you, and it looks pretty, but if he wants to, he can go through you, too. It can be a long night for whoever's facing him on the wall.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, right, in the defensive zone, so a puck's coming at you, and you're standing there waiting for it, and you know that Ovechkin's playing your side, and if he's pinching down, he will. He'll plow right through you if he has to. And Jordan Eberle, I don't think, is playing at 100% right now. I think he's playing banged up. He's got some injuries he's dealing with. And so you wonder if there'll be a tentativeness there because physically Jordan, I mean, he just can't drop a shoulder and you know, hope for the best against Ovechkin. Like, physically, he's outmatched there. So this is a big test, an important test for Jordan Eberle. He needs to start producing. It's not fair. If he's not healthy, it's tough. But that's what he's there for. And if he's going to play those minutes on that line, he's going to have to produce. And I think that I thought he was pretty good against I know Nugent Hopkins got a lot of credit. Taylor Hall, I thought, was decent. But I thought Jordan Eberle was pretty good against Tampa as well.
Shager, enjoy the game tonight.
Okay, guys. You too. Talk to you tomorrow.